temperatures at 55.
All right, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. It's Brother Johnny in studio today. And Mike Ditka in Naples, Florida. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, guys.
Hey, Mike. I'm right here with Stevie J up here in the beautiful Champaign, Urbana.
We begin with yesterday. There it is! Adam Scott! A life changer.
It's hard to exactly put it all together in my mind at the moment. It's a real honor. Amazing. This was one thing in golf that we hadn't been able to achieve, so... it's amazing that it's my destiny to be the first Aussie to win.
What is it about the Masters, Mike, that make it what it is?
Well, I mean, so much. I mean, you think of all the golf tournaments we have, that's really the only one that's only played on one golf course. I mean, that golf course was created for the Masters, that it was created for the greatest players in golf. And, I mean, and it's a risk-reward golf course. I mean, you know, if you've never played the course, it's hard to explain. It's not a tight golf course. There's hardly any rough. But the risk and reward, the greens are extremely tremendously sloped. You can't tell from TV. The undulations up and down, and there's a lot of hills on the golf course, too. I mean, the elevation changes are terrific. The greens are the whole golf course, basically. So the skill that these people have to do what they're doing is unbelievable. But the tournament is special. It was for the very best of golf, and you got to be the very best to win it.
It's a national invitational tournament, Stevie, and Bobby Jones started it way back
in friends.
Yeah, for his friends, and it's just grown. You know, it has that prestige, and to get invited now, you've got ways you can get in the top 12. And ties get to play the next year. I think when you win a tournament, you're in for at least 1 or 2 years. They've got all kinds of ways you qualify.
Exemptions
to be invited. And then when you run out, you know, some of the great ones run out of their exemptions. They can't go.
They can't even go. Yeah. And how, I mean, Tiger Woods on, you know, unbelievably bad break when it came to Friday, he hit the pin. It careens into the water. I mean, if it doesn't hit the pin, he's putting for a nice look at birdie. If the ball goes in the water. He drops it 2 yards behind the original spot. Rule says he's supposed to drop it on or right on the spot, closest you could. Rules committee looks at it, determines there's no violation. They don't even talk to Tiger. Tiger, in his post-golf interview, suggests that he did back it up intentionally, violating the rule. He didn't know the rule, apparently. So then, instead of disqualifying him, they said, well, had we talked to Tiger in the tent, he would have signed for the 8. There's no question. So we didn't even bring it up. We didn't think of his issue. So they used the rule 33-7. It's only been in play 2 years to say that's our discretion. We don't think it's a disqualifiable item. It's a two-stroke penalty, which is what they assessed him. Did you agree with how that all worked, Mike?
Well, it wasn't a disqualifiable item. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, no matter what all these so-called experts are or anything, he did nothing wrong. The rules of golf stated very carefully. You cannot put the ball any closer. You got to keep the line where, and actually it wasn't, the line where it went in wasn't even there. It didn't even come into play. So you can't drop the ball in the same identical spot. There's a divot there. So, I mean, you can talk about anything you want to. You can think you're Nick Faldo or you can think you're any of these experts. He did nothing wrong. And that's why it wasn't called at that time, and that's why he wasn't disqualified. The rule was so vague that he did nothing wrong. Now, there's a lot of Tiger haters out there. Fine. That's their prerogative. But he did nothing wrong. He did not try to bend the rules of golf.
Well, the other point is, as you made that, the rules of golf also say the committee has the discretion not to disqualify. So
right.
That's it.
Well, they said, well, if it weren't Tiger, anybody would Tiger.
Well, but that's whatever. But that's part of the discretion. I agree with the game. Mike says it every time we talk about this. We need Tiger in the game.
there's one point that was said this morning, and I heard it. Any other player, nobody would else saw the shot. Why'd they see it with Tiger? Why? Because they show every shot. No. Nobody would have saw the shot with any other player, basically. No. But with Tiger, they show almost every shot. Now, there's a lot of things that go into consideration. That doesn't make it right or wrong. I'm just saying he did not break the rules of golf. And they know that. That's why he wasn't disqualified. Now, the so-called experts come up and say, well, I should have disqualified himself. I don't know about that. I would like to see those people disqualify themselves in that same situation with the rule being that vague. I mean, after a while, it kind of bothers me. If you don't like the guy, that's one thing. That's your business. You don't like him, why? Because he's successful? Because he might be the best overall golfer in the world? On any given day, anybody can win any tournament. There's no question about that. Did he play good enough to win it? No. But, I mean, that break was incredible right there.
Yeah, it really was. Well, I'll tell you, though, Stevie, it's all good. The Masters was a great Masters, and I think, you know, anything really, Mike, even if it's quasi-negative off the bat, anything involving Tiger helps the game, helps the interest, helps the ratings. So I think it's all good.
It helps the ratings too, John, when he plays.
Exactly. And look, I agree with you that to throw him out, and again, the rule is clear that the committee can take that discretionary step and say, here's the ruling. That's it. That's the rule.
But the thing that was learning experience for me, and I showed the kids, apparently, Mike, you do have to drop it on or near the spot. And Tiger saying that I went 2 yards back to fit the shot better, you can't move it that far away from the divot. In fact, guys have said I've dropped it in the divot before because it has to be on or near the spot.
My understanding of that rule of golf was never that unless there's a drop zone, where you can have to drop the ball in a lot of holes like that. We have a couple of those where I play. There's a drop area. You must drop the ball no closer. And that was always my understanding. Maybe I don't understand the rule.
Well, I don't think. I mean, I'm a little confused with the, you know, I thought red line, yellow line is a little different from the standpoint of where there were three options that he had. Anyway, it's a learning experience. You have 34 rules of golf, but they all got 100 subsections to them, and it's just hard to really know every single one of them. It's interesting when you get into these situations.
The only way to solve this problem is to get our government involved. That's the only way.
Perfect.
They'll have the answer.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Of course, my game's at plus or minus 30 yards, so I don't know what all
Hey, listen. How impressive is Johnny's 39 on the front at Augusta? I don't care if you're playing from 100 yards out. 39 on the front. Will you play?
Steve, nobody understands the slope of those greens off of here they are. I mean, that's the thing.
You saw a 39 on the front of the
guy. Unbelievable.
I'm not going.
Calamity Jane was working.
I'm not going back.
All right, one other aspect of this story I want to ask you about. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3, is this comment from Adam Scott.
This was one thing in golf that we hadn't been able to achieve, so... it's amazing that it's my destiny to be the first Aussie to win.
Did Mike Ditka ever feel it was his destiny to lead the Bears to the Super Bowl? Did you ever feel that, Mike, that it was a destiny thing?
Well, I kind of felt that that's where I was supposed to be. And when I got there, I thought that's what we wanted to do. But I did. I did, because it was Mr. Hallis. Because he hired me as a player. He hired me as a coach. And that was the significant thing about that. And when he hired me as a coach, because they had not won a championship since 1963 when I played, that he told me, I brought you back here to win the championship. And that's what he told me. So, you know, was it my destiny or not? I thought it was.
And I think some of that's kind of self-fulfilling too, Steve. When anything you do, you choose to make an effort, and you want to believe that that's your destiny. That's how you have that drive and that willpower. And then when you succeed, you're right. It was your destiny. So it's kind of a catch-22 in a positive way.
Well, there's a lot of great people that don't succeed at winning a Super Bowl. Some fine coaches out there that have never won.
Guys, you know, we watch this thing, and, you know, we can talk about the element of luck where the green's a little bit wet. Now, you don't tell me Cabrera's putt shouldn't have went in? It didn't.
Wow.
I mean, so, you know, and the other one, I'm just telling you, you know, it's fate to a degree. I guess it is fate. And I thought Scott was terrific. I thought the way he answered everything was terrific. And he's very, very proud to be the first Australian to win that. And I think that's magnificent. I think that's an unbelievable thing. If you think of the great golfers from Australia who have never won it, I mean that's pretty special.
Yeah. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, you're on 93.5 ESPN and the new Sunny 95.3. When we come back, we talk about the new Jackie Robinson movie. And we are back with Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN, the new Sunny 95.3. So glad you're listening here this morning. It's Monday, April 15. It's tax day. Mike, this isn't a bad day for Johnny and I because this is when our dad came to this country in 1945. So I know we owe the government today and we have to file everything, but pretty good day for us with our dad. So
68 years ago.
How many is it?
68 wow. years.
You know, Mike, well, the one decision that a man makes in his life can have so many ripples. My dad doesn't come here. Obviously, we're not here.
I don't know. Well, I don't know how that works, dude. Yeah.
Well, you know, what you're saying is right, you know, and you were going to talk about the Robinson movie. I haven't seen it, but I really don't go to see movies, but I figured Jackie Robinson came into the league, what, in 1947?
Yes.
I believe, and that would make me 8 years old. But I remember it all. I mean, remember because I was such a, I played baseball all the time. I'm one of my favorite sport. And I can remember some of the comments that were made at that time. And I, you know, even as a young kid, I went, these people got to be crazy. You know, the object when you play the game of baseball is how well you play the game of baseball. And nothing else. And he was a very skilled man. I mean, for him to get through that time, that was pretty amazing, guys, when you think about it, because that was really, really bad.
Well, here's a clip from the movie, and it also has brought faith into the discussion.
Somewhere.
Don't let them get to you.
I won't. God built me to last.
You think God likes baseball, Herb? What the hell is that supposed to mean? It means someday you're going to meet God, and when he inquires as why you didn't take the field against Robinson in Philadelphia, and you answer that it's because he was a Negro, it may not be a sufficient reply.
That he chose Jackie, not only because he was a great baseball player, but because he knew that his faith and his character was going to be up for the great task of putting up with a lot of ridicule and hate. And I'm so happy that this film did not gloss over, as you said, Clayton, this very important aspect.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson really believed he was you know, chosen by God, too, and that he believed that the league should be integrated and all that. You know, a lot of times we give heat to the mainstream media for leaving religion out, and they almost can't, so they aren't leaving out of their reviews either. They're definitely keeping the faith in.
Yeah, hard to imagine, Mike, how we treated the African-American just 50 years ago. I mean, just unbelievable. That was part of it. And Jackie Robinson, what he endured, amazing.
Well, but the thing is, that's all part of history. But look at what he's paved the way for. Look at what baseball and all sports in our country have become. I mean, really, they become the stepping stone to success for most minority athletes, whether they be black or Hispanic or whatever. And it's provided a tremendous change in our whole society that wouldn't have existed 80 or 70 years ago.
But yet there's also an aspect, Johnny, about, you know, reminding me who's black and who's white when I don't care, but yet it seems to be almost an industry in some ways.
Well, I mean, it's always going to be there. People look different. They want to talk about something. But I think what you have to understand is that we're all God's creations. I think I like that about this movie. And I think the other thing that's important, Steve, is the character of this guy. Because not very many people, I don't know, could have come through it, Mike, because he was getting baited. He was getting abused, really.
Oh, you're right, exactly.
And he came through it.
I mean, and you're right. You know, you say, was he the chosen one? He was chosen because probably a lot of other people, whether they were black or otherwise, could have not stood up to what he stood up to and endured it and played at the level he played. No, well, they couldn't have. No one could have. So he was the first. That's why he was the first. That's why he endured. That's why he paved the way. That's why we have a greater system of sports in our country now, because we don't have race involved in it. And that's the right thing.
Well, and the other point, too, is that's what America offers as an opportunity for everyone.
Yes, yes.
And I'll tell you something, that faith point shouldn't be ever glossed over, because that's what allowed Jackie Robinson to succeed, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's allowed America to succeed. And as we start wandering away from that and we have issues.
You know, at certain points in our lives that we've lived, you have a guy like Robinson come along, then you had a guy like Ruth, or you had a guy like Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus. I mean, you go on, there were certain people who, you look at basketball the same way, whether it was Bill Russell or who, you know, you had certain people that kind of changed everything and paved the way for these young players to have the opportunities that they have today. And that's what makes sports so great.
Yeah, hard to imagine. I don't think the athlete today has any understanding of the struggles of Jackie Robinson.
No, none at all.
I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of hanging in there and listening and being physically, mentally, verbally abused. Just can't even fathom that that's all part of where we've come from. But again, the foundation of faith, what that has meant to this country, I just don't understand why there are those that are just adamant on removing such a critical fabric of us. I don't get it.
Well, who knows, but I like the fact that in this story, they kept the whole story in, and there's a good role model for all of us right there.
Yeah, and I want to say one thing, too. You know, the other hero in this whole scenario who had the guts to do it was Branch Rickey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy. I mean, you got to give him tremendous amount of credit for not only encouraging Robinson, supporting him, and really, you know, initiating the move.
Yeah, that takes.
And no one had the guts to do it. Yeah. Nobody else had the guts to do it.
Well, and by the way, Jackie Robinson had to be way better than everybody to make this work. If he'd have been an average athlete,
right? Exactly.
Why not? He just was so much better. He just couldn't deny it.
Yeah.
He said, "Wow, this guy can run. He can hit. He can field. He can do everything. And he's a good guy. Amazing." All right, final few moments. The leader of North Korea has not been seen in 2.5 weeks. A little nervous time over there in the Asian Pacific Rim, Johnny.
Well, that's interesting, and we don't know where he is. So I don't know that he's very stable, and I don't know how mature he is. So there is cause for concern over North
Korea. John, you do know how mature he is. He isn't mature. He isn't stable. This guy's a loose cannon, and I think really even in North Korea, I think somewhere along the way other people in power have to understand that this guy's way out of line. I mean, what he's asking for, nobody in this world wants to see what he's looking at.
And it's pointless too.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, and for what reason to say I got a bigger weapon than you got?
Wow. Well, you got an issue when a lot of analysts at the Pentagon describe him as a 29-year-old video gamer. Mike, he's got control of some pretty high-powered weapons, and he's
a video gamer. I know.
What?
Yeah. Well,
how does this happen? I mean, a head shaker for our times. Apparently, gold is plunging this morning.
Well,
not exactly sure what's happening with that. And then finally, the funeral of Margaret Thatcher. What a legacy, but still lots of criticism, as there was with Ronald Reagan. But Margaret Thatcher, I thought, had quite the impact on Great Britain, Johnny.
Well, I think that that philosophy, which was much more of kind of you're accountable.
Mm-hmm.
She said it very honestly. The problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money, and she was a great lady. Now, you know, what does it matter what these people today think? I mean, she was completely, she was the best thing to happen to Great Britain in I think ever.
Well, other than she's in there with Churchill as far as a strong leader.
Well, exactly, yeah, Churchill.
And I'll tell you, Reagan and her coming at the right time was good for the world, I think. And, of course, that's my opinion. But, yeah, what a great woman.
And your opinion's right, John, because I said so.
There you go, confirmed. But, yeah, she really had her principles and stuck by them. And I thought also wanted to do what was right. I question some of our leaders in that motive. It's a simple motive to do the right thing, but sometimes I wonder when you start just the spin and the changing.
Well, John,
the story,
to do the right thing, you have to know the right thing.
Right, that's true. And I think we have some confusion in that regard, Stevie J.
Well, and just knowing a little history and knowing a little cause and effect, Justin Bieber, who's doing a tour, Justin Bieber, the hot 19-year-old pop star, doing a tour in Amsterdam, went to see the Anne Frank Museum. And he signed the book, and he said, incredibly inspiring young lady. I would like to think a different time she would have been a fan of mine, you know, as he tours around. And people are taking offense to the fact that he wrote that in the guest book. And then many of his fans didn't have any idea who Anne Frank was.
No, right. Well,
absolutely.
They don't know who she is.
And I think,
darn.
It's interesting, Steve, but you know, sometimes the wrong path can lead to absolute disaster. And, Mike, I think what we've seen, we've had an incredibly great period of 50 or 60 years, but the witnesses to the horrors that we can see when we take the wrong path, Stevie, are dying. They're in their 90s, Steve. The ones that saw this firsthand and learned, oh, we can't do this because, we don't have any firsthand, and no, so we're kind of losing a little bit of, we're desensitized. Well, let's just say that.
Well, they say those who fail to learn from history tend to repeat history.
Yeah, or condemned to relive it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we don't want to relive some of our history. I can tell you, as a family of man.
Yeah. Well, Mike, it's always a pleasure. We always appreciate
you. You guys are great. Listen, I'm sorry about Friday. I forgot to call you.
No, we're fine. We played you talking about Stan Musial.
Yeah.
We had some great clips. We had some great best of Mike Ditka, so we played some of that. And by the way, can you pitch the ninth inning for the Cubs?
Don't even go there. Don't even go there. I tell you what. How they got, I mean, I don't, come on, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Something going on there. That's crazy.
They should have won four, and they won one of the four. It's just crazy.
Well, Stevie, a $500 million renovation to Wrigley Field coming up. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
it's not the field.
Mike, thanks as always. Appreciate you. Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys. Take care.
Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. This Wall Street Journal update now brought to you by Chuck Lee, Provident Financial Group Champaign, where partnerships are built on trust. You can find him at ProvidentFinancialGroupLLC.com.